Il Centro d'Arte Contemporanea di Siena presenta Gordon Matta Clark, un'ampia retrospettiva curata da Lorenzo Fusi e Marco Pierini. Nella seconda parte dell'intervista, Jane Crawford ci parla dell'agilità mentale di Matta Clark, del ritmo e dell'armonia con cui si muoveva nello spazio, della sua generosità e dell'ascito di Gordon alle nuove generazioni di artisti. L'intervista è in inglese.
A lot of people have noticed Gordon was a great dancer. I always say that gravity didn't affect him like it affects the rest of the world. I think he danced through his whole life in some way. He was a very physical person, but also very graceful. And I think because of his multicultural background and his ability to speak different languages, it gave him a certain agility of mind. Architectural training does that too. It gives you a way of understanding, conceptualizing space that is more profound than the rest of us. And so Gordon moved through space in a different way. He conceived of space in a different way. Often terrifying me, I remember when he did Jacob's Ladder, we had woven the network together in a huge conference room at a hotel and castle. But he went to, he climbed up the side of the smokestack and was hanging there by his knees, pulling this damn net up all by himself. I couldn't even look at it. It was so terrifying. I was sure he was going to die. And then once it was up, he was so happy with it, he thought, oh, all the people, all the spectators at Documenta are going to want to climb up this and see the rest of Castle and Documenta from this altitude. It'll be wonderful. And in some of the photos, you can see the people down below the net on the ground looking up at him, terrified. Of course, I was obliged to climb up because I was his girlfriend. You know, the things you do for love, I think now. But the loft parties provided a lot of good outlet for young energy. And I see now dances by Twyla Tharp and Lucinda Childs and Trisha Brown. Many of the artists really got a lot of their moves from our casual moves dancing on the floor because people were always jumping up after a loft party. You would see footprints on the walls and often the ceilings, and Gordon would lift people up and toss them up and catch them. He was something. But I think that he liked engaging people, and a lot of the sculpture wouldn't work unless you were engaged. You had to move through these spaces too, and that was the piece. As you moved through it, the work would change in time and in space. And this was a kind of new way to look at sculpture, not in the safety of a museum, but out in some very inconvenient spot like Englewood, New Jersey. He knew if you went to Englewood, New Jersey, that you would be more receptive to going into the building. There's another interesting aspect of the building work, which you really only get in the films now. People visiting his sculpture had a very intimate relationship with the artist, because in walking through one of his pieces, you really had to decide yourself if you had confidence in this man, that he knew what he was doing architecturally, because some of these cuts were so extraordinary, it looked like, you know, the whole building would fall down. And did you trust him, and did you trust yourself enough to step over a cut in the floor that might be a hole that led six floors down if you made the wrong step. So your senses were heightened, primarily because of fear. And being afraid, you were much more aware of the air currents, which were unusual because of the cuts in different places. You were aware that you could observe people on the street in unexpected ways, but at the same time, they could observe you in unexpected ways. You were aware of the shape of the light coming through the roof, perhaps, or maybe it was the rain, the way it would move through the different floors of the building. It was really quite a sensual experience for the viewer. Again, it was like the viewer was dancing through space. And you today can only get that in the film. You don't have a sense of the fear of actually walking through the space yourself. When Gordon died, he told me he didn't think that he had made enough work, and virtually no one saw the work. Only a handful of friends were ever allowed into the buildings because they were dangerous or in inconvenient locations. Not very many people knew him. And he told me I could throw it all away if I wanted to. He didn't, you know, if it was inconvenient to keep, or I could sell it if I wanted to. And he hoped we would give some of the money to artists, which we have done continually since he's died. We've supported other artists with his work. He wanted to engage people in the art. This was difficult because often the building cuts were torn down immediately, or once they were completed, it was illegal for people to enter them. For instance, in Antwerp, friends would go in, but you couldn't make it official. It was not an official opening where people could walk through. The same in Chicago, even though it was done in a museum, because it was dangerous to the general public. The general public was not allowed in. So Gordon did not have confidence that a lot of people saw the work. He used performance as a way to bring people into the work. One of his favorite projects was Conical Intersect because it was open onto the street. So people would drive out of their way in the morning going to work and coming home from work to look up and see what this madman was doing up there. And he loved that. And he wore his blue overalls and brought his baguette and his little bottle of watered wine and would sit out on the street for lunch with the other workers in the neighborhood when the whole neighborhood was being reworked. He loved that, and he really wanted people to engage in the work, so he often used performance or food as a way to attract attention to the work. Otherwise, he felt no one would see it. Many of his friends said they never knew what Gordon was talking about. He had a wonderful way with language. He was extremely intelligent, and as we know, he was well-traveled and multilingual. He had been exposed to things like the Situationalists in Paris and here in Italy, and in New York, most people didn't know about that. When Gordon spoke, it was kind of with a gestalt approach to language. He would mix in words, he would create new words the way the surrealists did. His father, if you look at the titles of his father's paintings, you'll see there are many invented words there, and the same in Gordon's work. You'll see many of the titles are a combination of different works, like Anne Architecture. And he was creative in his speech, so And dialectic. I met a critic who was a very linear thinker who said he never had any idea what Gordon was talking about. And after talking with this critic for 5 minutes, I could understand it. Gordon was making spirals with his language, and the linear critic was just stuck on the ground watching incomprehensively. I'm thrilled when I see young artists working in similar areas in the areas that Gordon had worked. And Gordon was very generous. And in fact, he was a little annoying sometimes. He would go out to buy the newspaper in the morning, and he would always come back with someone. Many times an art student or just somebody picked up on the street. He came back with a nuclear physicist once. It was, and I was there at home doing my work, but then we would have these people in the house. And Gordon was always talking to them, trying to sell them on the idea of art and how important it is to have art in your quest, in your life, that art raises the level of a conversation. And I so agree. I think he would be so proud that so many people have looked to his work and found it stimulating and inspiring to continue in some of the directions he explored.